He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and it sounds like there's a little bit of a skirmish going on in the Strait of Hormuz as the U.S. and our allies trying to clear that, which would be good news, but in the meantime, the market's a little nervous, chewing its fingernails this morning. The Dow's down 155 to 45,866. The NASDAQ is down 238, a little bit of risk off here this morning as explosions being heard along the coastline there of the Strait of Hormuz. The NASDAQ's down 236 to 21,853. The S&P is down 45 to 65.61. And we have oil prices. There's a key one. Last time I looked, they were pretty flat. Oil is, yeah, it's flat, $95.39. The 10-year's running hot, though, 4.34. Jerome Powell didn't give us any help this week, especially his comments. 4.34% on the 10-year. Gold is up a little bit, 1%, but it's really struggled here. Big profit-taking round in gold. I think it's done, the move myself. Silver is flat at 71.20, and Bitcoin is actually up. It was about $800. Let's see if it's hanging on to that. Nope, now it's down a dollar to $69,894. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Last week, Barry, you actually picked High Point University over Wisconsin.
They always say you got to pick a 5-12, and I just so happened to see High Point just in the background play their championship game, I guess, last week, and I was like, all right, they look pretty good. And then, so Wisconsin has burned me before, and so by default, I had High Point over Wisconsin, which ended up being one of the relatively big upsets yesterday.
That's a huge upset. Now you don't have a perfect bracket yet.
Ohio State. I had Ohio State in the first game. Usually, what happens to me is the first game I lose it, and so yeah, my perfect bracket was done.
Went down yesterday, as usual in March Madness. Well, anyways, we have some skirmishes going on. Now, the futures were up pretty good last night. I wake up this morning, I check the futures, and they're all like blood red. I go, oh, God, I think I'll just stay in bed today. But, you know, I looked underneath at the news, and it sounds to me like they're really amping up the pressure, which is a good thing, to clear the Strait of Hormuz and make it safe for passage. It was really put into perspective for me last night. I was watching the news. Normally, 100 ships go through that strait. And recently, there's been one or two, which those are brave souls, the one or two that want to even chance it. But that just shows you how clogged that pipeline is and why you've got oil up at $95 per barrel right now. And I said last week that's the choke point. It's the choke point for the stock market right now. It's the choke point for inflation. It's the choke point for a lot of things, and cost for earnings. It's going to affect earnings, the companies that are heavily reliant, and it's going to help the oil and the natural gas companies. But in the meantime, there's some action going on there. Maybe, who knows, by the end of the weekend, by Monday. And I also saw on the news, which I thought was a good thing, other countries are joining in to help clear the strait because they're dependent. I mean, they're more dependent upon that oil coming out of there than we are.
Well, I mean, the president said that, actually said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, you know, the folks who really need the Strait open are, is the rest of the world versus versus the U.S. So it, I saw some video where they're you know, starting to bomb some things along the shoreline.
Yeah, the shoreline.
Get rid of some of these you know, smaller boats, and then also. Saw a report, I guess, from the Pen that the Pentagon was moving, I guess, about 2,000 or 2,500 Marines from an amphibious unit, I guess, towards the theater.
I wonder if there will be a ground assault. Now, he said no boots on the ground. But I used to watch those guys train off of Oceanside. Those big amphibious things would come right up on the beach. It was just something to behold, to watch that. While I'm out fishing, you know, I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah. All this dust and guys running out on the beach and whatnot. You don't want to be sunbathing on the Strait of Hormuz today, as you could get blown up. Other than that, you know. So what's going on in the market? Quite a bit, actually. It's been a very active week. You had Micron's earnings on Thursday. Probably the greatest earnings report I've ever seen. We've had, of course, news coming out of NVIDIA all week. You know, I'll tell you, talk about a trouble-plagued company, a scandal-plagued, SMCI.
Oh, I saw that news today. Wow. Yeah.
They get nailed for smuggling NVIDIA chips into China. And, you know, first it was accounting concerns.
Yep.
And there is an inverse ETF on that stock, SMCI. Imagine that thing is way up today. But that has sure been a scandal and trouble plague stock. Now, yesterday.
Down 26% at the moment. Yeah.
Yesterday, it was interesting to see the market way down in the morning, and it came back pretty strong throughout the day. The NASDAQ ended up down just about 0.25% yesterday. To me, the two big choke points right now are one, interest rates. Thanks, Jerome Powell. And the Strait of Hormuz and oil prices. Those are the two big issues.
Yeah, we took advantage of those high rates yesterday and made a bond purchase. So kind of been doing a little shopping out there, as we've seen rates tick up. So
I sent a text to Barry after the show. I said, bonds are on sale today. What do you got?
Yeah.
And he did find one and put it in. Now, those are for our folks that are super, super conservative and are happy making five, four, five, six. We aim for six. You know, we've done better than that, actually, since we started it. But that's holding individual bonds, just a small, you know, portfolio of 10, 12, whatever the case may be, to maturity. And for us, that's the best alternative investment. Oh, it beats the heck out of private credit. It beats the heck out of non-traded REITs and all these alternatives that Wall Street has come up with that lines everybody's pockets except for the investors.
Investor. Right.
You know, that's what they're aiming for with these alternative investments, too, is you know, 6%. It's alternative to the stock market. But it's loaded with fees, and it's fraught with risk and commissions. And no, thank you. I think that's the alternative investment we picked as our alternative investment of choice, non-correlated to the stock market, with a pretty high degree of reaching the outcome that you're aiming for there, but it's for the ultra-conservative part of your portfolio. But I did like to see that market come back yesterday. Another issue we had this week that did hurt interest rates, I can't blame it all on Jerome Powell, but the PPI did come in a little bit hotter than expected, and with oil prices elevated, that's also keeping interest rates high. Because the bond market sees inflation coming back. And I heard one analyst say, if we stay where we're at, well, we're currently running at 3%. if oil stays there for the, more than several weeks, then we're running at 4%. And if oil gets back over 100, then we could be running at 6% inflation. Now, that was just one analyst that covers the oil markets and talking about those inflation fears that have come back to the market. Now, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to ABC? Are you going to listen to NBC? Are you going to listen to CBS? Are you going to listen to CNN? Are you going to listen to Fox? Whoever the case may be. Are you going to listen to Netanyahu, who says, we are seriously kicking, you know what, in Iran and making major progress in clearing out and really degrading their military. They put them out of business for enriching uranium. And hopefully the people will get a shot at taking over their government at some point in time. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said Iran no longer has the capacity to enrich uranium or make ballistic missiles, and that Israel will help reopen the Strait of Hormuz. He says, we are winning and Iran is being decimated, Netanyahu told the news conference, noting that Iran's missiles and drone arsenals have been massively degraded. And what they're doing now is destroying factories that provide the components to make these missiles and to make the nuclear weapons that they're trying to produce. You got to say that Iran was pretty hell-bent. I mean, that is their thing, is ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads, and they were pretty hell-bent. They weren't going in that direction for peaceful uses of enriched uranium.
Well, and they're showing you their true colors in terms of just indiscriminately launching things everywhere, not towards military assets, launching them towards the terror that they've pushed for years and years.
Yep, the biggest sponsor of terror around the world for the last four decades. One analyst says oil prices could surge past 180. That would be a disaster. That wouldn't be good. There's always outliers out there with their predictions. I don't see 180 myself, but that's what one analyst is saying. And then we have the liquid natural gas prices. We're seeing new highs. Cheniere Energy, LNG, VG, which is Venture Global, is another one that has done well. In fact, Iran has helped wipe out the LNG. It's not us that has done it, but they wiped out 17% of Qatar's LNG capacity for up to 5 years. And, of course, Qatar is a major source of LNG for Europe. And, I guess they're going to have to turn to the U.S. maybe for our LNG. But that's a major degradation. Iranian attacks have knocked out 17% of Qatar's liquefied natural gas export capacity, causing an estimated $20 billion in lost annual revenues and threatening supplies to Europe and Asia. Are we going to have another Bay of Pigs? This time, there's the ship headed from Russia to Cuba is not carrying missiles. It's carrying oil. And the U.S. is supposed to arrive there later this month, but the U.S. has said, no. Now, that ship is not going to get through to Cuba, which Cuba is only able to produce about 40% of the oil that they need. They rely on Venezuela, Russia, and Iran. They're compadres around the world, you know, that share the same kind of philosophy of communism. But that ship is headed for, Besant was talking about this yesterday. And no, there could be a big standoff, but that ship is not going to be allowed to get into Cuba to give them the badly needed. And of course, there's another one where are they going to eventually? There's something's going to give. Something's going to happen there. Whether we take out the current leaders of Cuba, who have been pariahs in the world for a long, long time also. Of course, there's a whole controversy. Do you let those people just go on doing what they're doing and mind your own business? You've got the protectionists. You've got people that don't want to get involved. Yeah, there's all kinds of different philosophies. But I think taking out evil, in my opinion, is a good thing, especially when it's impacting so many people's lives. We're freedom lovers here in the U.S. That's why we came here. For freedom. I was listening to that song, Free Bird. You know, that song's all about, really, freedom and America. They were some pretty good patriots there, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And a great guitar solo.
They do the live version of that. That's on their live album. It's in Atlanta at the Atlanta Stadium. And he says, play it pretty for Atlanta. And then out comes in Rossington, and they start doing that solo, which I think is the greatest guitar solo of all time. And it could be that Free Bird is the greatest rock song of all time, if it really gets down to it. Now, my mother, had her best friend growing up, Barry in L.A., was named Marjorie King. And she had a son who started a little band in L.A. called the Strawberry Alarm Clock. They had some hits, Incense and Peppernuts and Tomorrow, but he went on and was one of the founding members of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And when Lynyrd Skynyrd came to San Diego, I had front row seats, and Alan Collins stood right in front of me doing that solo. I had my camera. And he posed, and he smiled at me, and all kinds of things, and I have pictures of him. The late Alan Collins, that was the tragic band, Lynyrd Skynyrd. If it wasn't car wrecks, plane crashes, drug overdoses, nothing but trouble for Lynyrd Skynyrd. Ed King, he left finally. He ended up in Nashville. He had quite a musical career. He had quite a guitar collection, too. And I read that he recently died. I'd like to get a hold of, I knew his brother, and talk to him and reminisce a little bit. I bet there's some stories there, man, traveling around with Lynyrd Skynyrd. I think he wrote Sweet Home Alabama also. Okay, let's get back to Cheniere and Venture Global rise as Iran strikes out Qatar LNG capacity. You know, this is another thing where the app really comes in handy, Barry. There's a lot of LNG-related stocks. There's a plethora of LNG-related stocks. And where I see the leaders emerge, the ones that the mutual funds, the ones that the institutions are buying, and the hedge funds, they show up in they're either rising in rank, which is one list that I look at. They're A-plus momentum, which is another list I look at. They've reached the top B-plus or better list, which is another list I look at. And then I kind of have a generic list of key stocks from different industries that I look at every day. And you know where I see it? In the charts. First, I identify, narrow the field, which makes my life a lot easier. And then I look at those charts, and I saw LNG breaking out a couple weeks ago. I've seen Devon Energy breaking out. APA is another major player in LNG. Those are pretty much your three big ones. But my favorite overall is the one that has the symbol, LNG. We'll be right back. You can't turn him into
a whore. And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And again, April 7th, 8th, and 9th, which is not too far off. We're headed south to Sarasota, and we'll be at the Even Hotel over there in Lakewood Ranch. We have 1 hour appointments available on Tuesday and Wednesday. And Tuesday night, I'll be teaching a workshop on the market, everything I know about the market in an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it takes, 7 to 9 usually is what we do, to reserve a spot to the workshop, 855-611-BEST, to reserve a 1 hour appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, or go to our website, at Gunderson Capital. That's the Sarasota Lakewood Ranch trip at the Even Hotel on April 7th, 8th, and 9th. Okay, I want to look at gold just for a minute here. Gold, I was listening to one of the financial channels, and they had a technical analyst on. And I don't like her analysis. I think she's wrong. But anyway, she was giving her take on gold. That's a broken trade big time. She says, oh, no, the trend is still in place. This is just a pullback. I don't know about that. You know, it just, the air came out of that trade on that Friday. When silver was down 28%, you know, silver is now down 45% from its high, which shows you how much helium. I mean, there's a lesson here. A lot of helium can come into a sector, can come into a stock. I remember when SMCI had a bunch of helium underneath it, and then all of a sudden a short seller came after it.
And they had the accounting issue, and then when Hindenburg was still around, right?
Never recovered. Yeah. That stock never recovered. And, you know, gold, if you just look at it historically, asset classes have a way of, you know, coming back to the mean of what they've averaged over the long haul, which is about 5 or 6% for gold. It had a huge, huge run. We took a 60% profit in gold, which is unheard of. Normally, that would take you 10 years to make in gold. But it shows you how overheated a trade, whether it be an asset class, whether it be a sector, or whether it be an individual stock, you can see how overblown trades can become. And boy, you know, Katie bar the door when that trade starts to turn and the profit taking starts to set in. And the profit taking, it starts off real slow. Like if I leave here tomorrow, you know, the song Free Bird starts
off. Yeah, it takes
off
a while to build up, right?
So
yeah,
does Stairway to Heaven. Right. Very slow. And then it starts to wind up, and then it goes into overdrive, and then it goes into parabolic. Alan Collins and Rossington, they go into parabolic mode. And then you think the solo is done, and they start it up again and crank it up and take it up another notch. It's really incredible. If you ever get a chance, watch the YouTube video of the live version of Freebird at the Atlanta Stadium by the original Lynyrd Skynyrd. That is a great, great guitar. I mean, just watch that thing crank up. And then all of a sudden, when the air starts to come out of these big parabolic moves, parabolic is not sustainable. And that's what we've seen here in gold and in silver. And you got to believe that a lot of that trade may have went to oil. A lot of, you know, said, hey, we've made our money. We've ran this thing dry. We've wrung everything out of this gold trade that we're possibly going to wring out of it. And I saw the move moving to oil. And we moved to oil, which we haven't owned in a long, long time. The oil traders knew it was inevitable that something was going to go on in Iran way before it was ever announced. And you saw oil, which is pretty typical, and that's another beauty of the app. I'm able to see some pretty subtle moves. Alan Collins beginning to wind up, loosen up his arm, right, for the really heavy-duty part of the solo, which is just incredible. And that started happening in oil. And I don't think it's played out yet. You know, we've had, like, BP's gone up 7 days in a row. Exxon's gone up 7 days in a row. But I particularly like the LNG.
Yeah, I think the LNG, to me, the LNG is the one that has, you know, more sustainability. I mean, you talk about, you know, Qatar, huge LNG producer, going to have, you know, 17% of their output impacted for 3 to 5 years. And that's from them.
And Europe seems to use a lot of LNG. They accept that, right, as a renewable, cleaner fuel than crude.
Right. Yep. Correct. And then you know, the other thing too with gold is, you know, people forget gold's very interest rate sensitive. So as interest rates go up, the all else being equal, the price of gold goes down. As the dollar strengthens, it moves inverse with gold. So we've had, you know, two things have happened recently. You've had the dollar, you know, strengthen fairly significantly, and interest rates, what, like you mentioned today, what, up above 4.3 or so on the 10-year. And so those are big tail, you know, big headwinds for gold. And, you know, it also was a crowded trade, as you mentioned. So those three things are what's really, you know, waning on that chart there. So
yes. And I, you know, I like to bring up sour trades along with good good looking charts. Another sour trade besides the precious metals. And by the way, that whole precious metals sell off is spread to all the miners. Copper, palladium, rare earth, all the miners. Anything precious metals or rare earth or you know, industrial metals is just getting clobbered. China's trade is terrible. Alibaba, Tencent, PDD, all of the major players in China. And the one that the trade that looks good in China is the inverse China trade. And I have to believe that oil has a major impact on China's economy because they have to bring in and bring, that's a big cost to them as a nation. Fuel, especially oil. Now, they've been going to electric cars, and they've been going, they use a lot of coal-fired plants over in China. But they are dependent on oil coming in from outside sources, and with oil price, it's impacting them a lot more than it is us. Is that fair to say? Because we have oil here in America.
And too much natural gas.
We were burning
years
it
ago
off.
We were just flaring it off, right? While at refineries. Now it's a little more precious, and you know, thankfully we've been, you know, that whole you know, area down there and in around the Houston area and around Louisiana down there. Yeah, I mean, that's a big big LNG terminal, and they've been, you know, adding capacity or attempting to add capacity for a while now. They had to get around some environmental concerns at one point or two, but yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, we have a lot of, and we can, you know, at some point are built to export it.
Major bridge to nuclear to power these data centers. And I was listening to another guy about the build-out of data center. The biggest problem the data centers are having is the cost of the energy to you know, energize the data centers. And that's costing them. That's where a lot of the cost is going, to build these things. So there's a little hiccup there. But inverse China, FXP, is a pretty good hedge right now against high oil prices. So you see how that's related? You wouldn't think of that. But who's being hurt? Who's on the other side of the street? On the one side of the street is LNG Cheniere and APA, which used to be called Apache, and Devon Energy, and several others. And on the other side of the street are the countries being hurt big time, and China. Look at the chart of FXP, which is inverse the China 50 right now. That looks pretty attractive as a hedge. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, today's the day I begin work on the newsletter. Of course, I still go through all my list of charts and all of our holdings. And there's a few that are perched on the precipice there of my line in the sand. We'll see where they land today. And you also have a few indexes. The Dow broke below its 200-day moving average. That's not an automatic sell, by the way. But it's not a good development. And you'd have to say, well, it's not breaking because the economy is breaking down. No, you have to differentiate things. It's breaking down because of a temporary event. Much like the tariff war was, much like COVID was. So you have to look at what's causing the breakdown, and is it structural? I heard the FedEx CEO this morning talking, and he says, boy, we're not seeing any slowdown. We see underneath the surface, we see a healthy economy. And they've always been a pretty good barometer, FedEx. Because they're in the delivery business, they know how the consumer is doing. And I heard him say, and I think most of the jobs reports, we've had a few outliers. We had a real stinker of a non-farm payrolls report a couple of weeks ago. But the frontline report is that, weekly unemployment claims, and that has remained down in the low 200,000s for a long, long time.
Yeah, we had that one spike, and it's still an average of the average is 215K for the 4 weeks as of this past Thursday. So.
Yes, and there probably will not be much change to the earnings estimates this week in the newsletter unless... It just depends on how busy the analysts have been in upping their estimates for the oil and gas companies and lowering their estimates for the airlines, the railroads, the truckers, the cruise ships. There's the sunny side of the street, and there's the one that's getting hit, the other side of the street. I think in the end of the day, it's going to balance. And there's not going to be much of an impact. Now, you could say, well, what about the consumer? How much of a hit is the consumer? Oh, you're taking a hit. I noticed it. I filled up my tank. I haven't done it for a while. $78. That's the highest I've paid in a while to fill up the tank. So, you know, that's probably $10 more than normal. Well, I didn't buy anything in the little store. I said, forget it. I'm not getting my Monster Energy or my beef jerky or whatever the case may be because I spent $10 extra. So it does hurt the consumer a little bit. But we'll see where we're at with those earnings estimates this week. And I always upgrade my Tarkros. Now, we are in between earnings seasons. But we're just 11 days out now from the end of the first quarter of this year. We're only 11 days out. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, we begin another earnings season. And, of course, we've had like several blockbuster earnings seasons in a row. And that's why every time you see the market sell off, whether it be a global type event like staking place now, or natural, whatever the case may be, you're seeing the dips eventually being bought because you have the underpinning of the earnings that support higher S&P 500. And I even heard Jim Cramer saying that some oscillator that he looks at, I can't remember which one it was, but he watches an oscillator for the market being oversold. And he says every time it hits the level, it hit a negative number, negative 10 or something like that. And he said that has been a very reliable indicator of an oversold market. Now, if the fundamentals of the economy were breaking down, that would be a different story, but they're not. They've remained strong, and, you know, as this last earnings season came to a close, we finished on the high note of the quarter. Then you had this blowout by Micron, which I guess we'll go into next quarter, and the guidance that they gave, that's going to impact the whole S&P 500. I don't know how many, maybe 5 cents or something like that. It has to have a pretty big impact on the S&P 500. But there's the haves and the have-nots. You know, you also get a company like, let's see, who was it? It was the big cereal, General Mills. They said, this is a tough consumer environment right now. Well, they're dealing with inflation. They're dealing with the product that I'm not sure that most people start their day with a Monster Energy, a latte, or a muffin. Are they pulling bowls of Wheaties anymore and eating Wheaties with some fresh blueberries? That was my father's thing. He loved grape nuts with some fresh fruit on top. Probably healthy. That's probably why he lived so long.
The old post grape nuts. That's a crunchy cereal. You got to let that milk kind of marinate in there. Would have been
But a sausage croissant on a Monster Energy, probably not a healthy breakfast. So General Mills is fighting other things besides inflation. But look, there's a whole aisle devoted to, I never even go down that aisle. Now you do, Barry, having teenage sons, but I never even go down that aisle anymore, that cereal aisle with all those sugar cereals and of course, grandkids. I'm sure my grandkids are into all that stuff.
Yeah, they don't taste like they used to. They don't put as much I think they got some rules in terms of how much sugar can be in them nowadays. They don't taste quite the same.
90% sugar instead of 90. Well, there's the haves and the have-nots, and that's the whole thing about Best Stocks Now is we look for the haves, the ones where the demand is, the ones that are flourishing, the ones that are on the right side of the street, and we manage them very tightly. Vigilant is the word because things can change very, very quickly, as you've recently seen in the gold sector. To get 4 weeks of the newsletter along with access to the app and the live trades, oh my gosh, what a deal that is. Nothing. I don't ask for a credit card. Nothing. Go to GundersonCapital.com and to explore using us as your financial plan, your money management, handling your investments. give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. Get away from the mediocrity that Wall Street is just, it's rampant. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.